while we are opening Revelation 6, I want you to open at Matthew chapter 24 as well. And we're going to compare these two chapters as we read the Word of God together. Now we'll read one verse in Matthew 24 first, then verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? Now look at Revelation 6, and verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now look at our Lord's commentary in Matthew 24 and verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 25, Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now the question that was asked by the disciples is, What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? And the answer is, a battle for the minds of men. The spirit of Antichrist has always been in the world, but this will intensify and will be personified in a man in the last days. Now look again at Revelation chapter 6 and verse 3. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Now look at our Lord's commentary on this in verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and of rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And again the disciples question, What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? And the answer is, a world that knows no peace. There have been wars and rumors of wars all through our distant ages, but these will be intensified as the end draws near. Now look again at Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat thereon had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now here we read of the oil and the wine. Now these are well-known symbols of the Jewish nation. And when it says, hurt not the oil and the wine, it simply means that there will be a divine preservation of the Jewish nation, at least the godly remnant of them in the last days. Look at chapter 7 for the answer to that. Verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till ye have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. And then it goes on to show the sealing of 144,000 Jews that will be preserved during the tribulation. Now, may I say that this 144,000 are not saved people. They are not sealed for salvation. They are sealed for preservation. They will not be saved until our Lord returns. And then they will look upon him whom they appear, and a nation will be born at once. Now look further down, Revelation 6, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seat, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now look at our Lord's commentary in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7. Look in the center of this verse, and there shall be famine, that is the black horse, and pestilences, that is the pale horse, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now look again at Revelation 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seat, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they had. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now you will note that this is a conversation that goes on in heaven after these were martyred, meaning that death does not end all, that the human personality will survive the shock of death and will either soar from glory to glory in heaven or plunge from death to death in hell. Look at our Lord's commentary on this in Matthew 24 and verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And again the question of the disciples, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? And the answer is, a world of famine, and a world of pestilences, and a world whose atmosphere is charged with hatred to Christ. Now look again at Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That is, everything that is stable will be swept away. Now look at our Lord's commentary in Matthew chapter 24. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Everything that is stable, that has been the support of civilization, will be swept away in the providential judgments of God. Now look again at Revelation 6 and verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Here then is the outline of divine events that the rest of the book of the Revelation fills in the details. Now look at our Lord's commentary in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? And our world will come to an end. So far as the governments of the heavens and the governments of the earth are concerned, and a new order of things will be set up by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us look up features of his coming again in Matthew chapter 24. And let us look up these five features first. First of all, we are told, it will be as swift as the lightning. Then we are told it will be as sure as his word. Then again, it will be as sudden as Noah's flood. It will be again as secret as a thief in the night. and it will have a separating effect upon all humanity. Now look at these five features of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It will be as swift as the lightning." Christ and his church are in the heavens. Then all of a sudden, the heavens will burst with the glory of God, and our world will behold our Savior descend in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and to obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look again at verse 35. "It will be as sure as his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Just as our Savior has said it, so shall it come to pass. As swift as the lightning, as sure as his word. But it will be as sudden as Noah's flood. Look at verse 37. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As swift as the lightning, as sure as his word, as sudden as Noah's flood. But it will be as secret as a thief." We read in verse 43, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Oh, there is a thief. That thief is the devil, robbing men and women of everything that is worthwhile, and then when our Savior comes, they awaken to discover they have lost everything for eternity. But look again at verse 40. "It will be separating in its effect. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Now our Lord is speaking in the land of Palestine. He's concentrating his thoughts upon what will take place in the land of Palestine. And he's simply teaching us that just as it was in the days of Noah, when so many were taken away in judgment, and then Noah and his family were left for blessing. So he says, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Those that are taken in judgment. We are told that 2/3 of that nation will perish in their sins. Then he will take the third through the fires of persecution and keep that third of the nation until he comes again. And when he comes again, he will deliver them and he will save them. And that third will be the nucleus of a new nation that will head the nation during the millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us look up the divisions of our chapter. You will note there are three questions asked in verse 3. Tell us, when shall these things be? Now that is answered in verses 4 to 8. And it refers to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in the year 70. And we are told in verse 8 that all these are the beginning of sorrow. And surely that was the beginning of sorrows when the armies of the Romans went in and destroyed that city and temple, scattered its inhabitants among the nations, and God says, this is the beginning of your sorrows. When shall these things be? When one stone will not be left upon another? And that question is answered in verses 4 to 8. But look at the second question. What shall be the sign of thy coming? And that brings us right up to the first 3.5 years of Daniel's last week of the prophetic program of God. That's in verses 9 to 14. And it brings us up to the very beginning of the last 7 years of the prophetic program of God. And then the third question that is asked, the end of the age. And that is answered in verses 15 to 30. And it begins in the very middle of Daniel's week. Look at verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now when will the abomination that maketh desolate be set up? In the middle of the week. When there is an image of the beast, put in the temple by the false prophet, and all Israel is made to bow before it. That's the last 3.5 years that is described from verse 15. Then you will note in verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. The carcass is the dead body of the Jewish nation back in the land of Palestine, but in unbelief. The eagles are the Gentile powers that surround it, and they are out for the prey. Isn't that what we see in our day? Don't we see the eyes of the eagles on the Middle East? And all nations of the world are drawn in their thoughts to the Middle East. That's where the focus of prophecy is. It's on the Middle East. And what a 3.5 years that will be. You know, it is that time when the devil and his angels are cast down from the heavens. It is that time when the heavens are rolled up like a scroll. That is the government of evil principalities and powers are driven down to the earth. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down. Now I'm convinced that the devil and his angels are a celestial class of beings. And I'm convinced that the demons are a terrestrial class. But they are an organized class, under the supervision of superior powers, the devil and his angels. And demons do their bidding in this world of sin. And as we said the other night, there will be a revival of demonism in the last days, for Paul prophesied in the latter times, men shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So there will be a revival of demonism in the last day. So the first 8 verses brings us to the destruction of Jerusalem. That's the beginning of sorrows for that nation. Then, events that follow down to verse 14 brings us to the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. Then from verse 15, the covenant is broken, the image of the beast is set up, the abomination that maketh desolate, and the beast that had been the protector of the nation now becomes the deadly enemy of God-fearing Jews. They will be driven out of Palestine, into the rocky fortress of Petra, perhaps. And when our Savior comes again, He comes to Edom. That's Isaiah 63. And He marches at the head of that Israelitish nation and the armies of heaven, and He will march to the Mount of Olives and destroy the military might of the nations and set up His kingdom upon the ruin of man's accursed civilization. Now let us look at 4 warnings in our chapter. 4 dangers we are confronted with. And you will note that the first is, and you will note how it is divided. It says in verse 4, take heed. And then, there are 4 then that give to us just a little skeleton of what our Lord is setting before us. And the first danger is that of deception in a world of imposters. Deception in a world of imposters. We read of false Christ, false preachers, men that are out to deceive. And our Savior warns that there must be spiritual discernment in a world of deception. Take heed. You know, in our world, there are many things that are calculated to deceive. But there is one thing, that when the Spirit of God controlleth the children of God. Truth will shine up amid a million errors and make its appeal to the honest church of God's people. Deception in a world of imposters. The second danger is that of Cardite in a world of opposition. Look at the word then in verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And you will know, it's because iniquity shall abound that the love of many shall wax cold. First, it's a world of deception, where spiritual discernment. Note the third warning. Deception in a world of imposters. Cardite in a world of opposition. Departure in a world of intellectualism. Look at our next then in verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch where possible they shall be elect. Here is another warning. Not only is there deception in a world of imposters, not only can there be Cardite in a world of hostility, but there can be departure in a world of intellectualism. Spiritual minds are able to discern what is of the Spirit of God. And it's only through the spiritual that spiritual truths are revealed. That is why there are many without any of the world's education that can read their Bibles and understand it well, when perhaps the intellectuals, it's a closed book to them. But the danger is that an academic ministry may displace a spiritual ministry among the people of God now. Not that we despise a good education, but let us remember that it is spirituality that brings us into fellowship with the very God that wrote our Bible and the very God that reveals our Bible. And so there can be departure in the world of intellectualism. But look up the next danger. And that is failure to discern a world that is disintegrating. Look at our next then in verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What a climate. A world that has been departing from God. A world in which there is deception and hostility and departure, and where everything is going to pieces. the spiritual eye of God's people will discern the signs of our time. We have the spiritual realization that our Lord's coming is right at the door. He said it will be in two stages. First, he will come for his saints. He'll take them all away. Not one believer will be left on this earth when our Savior comes. But that's not the second advent. That's the rapture of the saints. Here is the second advent. When the heavens burst. When the glory of God fills the very heavens. When our Lord descends with the armies of heaven. When he goes before them on that white sea. The true rider of the white horse. And he breaks the siege of Eden and marches 200 miles at the head of the armies of heaven until his feet stands upon the Mount of Olives. And then the destruction of the military might of the nations begins. And a world that knew no peace will know peace when the Prince of Peace claims his kingdom and rules in righteousness from shore to shore. You know, dear friends, it's wonderful to belong to Christ. It's wonderful to know him as a personal Savior. For after all, the only thing that can save a soul from the wrath of the Lamb is the blood of the Lamb. And the blood is the sign, Lord, that marks them as thine, Lord. And brightly they'll shine at thy coming again. Are we washed in the blood? Are we ready to meet our Lord? And if we are, then let us rise as men and women of God, and be like those that wait for their Lord from heaven. May the Lord bless his word to every one of us, shall we pray. Our Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word. We thank thee that our Savior is coming again. We thank thee that his coming for the saints is right at the door. We see the signs that mark the second stage of the Advent, and we say how much nearer must the first stage be. We pray thy blessing upon thy word, and grant, Lord, that thou wilt graciously bless thy people gathered tonight. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now tomorrow evening, I hope to speak on the signs of the times. Shall we sing in hymns of worship and remembrance, number 209. Number 209, O child of God, there is for thee a hope that shines amid the gloom, a gladsome hope that thou shalt see thy Lord, for he will surely come. The first and the last verses of number 209.